We're in Megillah. We're up to the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're dealing with stories. The story of the Megillah, the Gemara, begins whereby the two dots, five lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanon, we have a Tanai quote that was approved by the Beis Medrash of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. We have a approved Braisa. Shelosha Malachu BaKippah, three ruled the world. Who are they? Ve'eluhen Achav, Achashverosh, VeNebuchadnezzar. Achav, the Judean king, Dichtiv, as the verse says, when the prophet Ovadia comes across Elio, he says to him, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem your God, Im yesh goy umamlecha shelo shelach Adoni sham nevakeshcha. If there exists a nation in the world that Achav didn't send word to, asking, is Elio in your territory? Check your border control. Has Elio come to your territory? Ovadia tells Elio, I swear, Achav sent word to every nation in the world and asked, is Elio there? And they said, no. And then he said, promise me he's not there. So Chazal say, how can he make them promise? And if Achav didn't rule every nation in the world, how can he make them promise? Who's he? From the fact that the Pasuk records that Achav would tell the leaders of every country, promise me Elio isn't in your midst, we understand that he ruled the world. Nebuchadnezzar, Dichtiv, V'aya goy v'amamlecha shelo yiten tzavro b'ol melech Bavel. It says over there that any kingdom that would not go under the yoke of the king would be punished. So you see that all kings were under Nebuchadnezzar. Achashverosh, Hoda Amran. Achashverosh, from the proof we brought earlier yesterday's Gemara. Tosus says, how come Alexander the Great isn't mentioned? Because we're only talking about those that appear in the verses. There was another one. There was Alexander. Simen Shasdach. Shasdach is an acronym for the names that we are going to question. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. These are the only ones that ruled the world. We're going to ask from Shlomo, Sancheriv, Daryavish, and Koresh. That's the Shasdach. Shasdach. The Gemara is going to ask four questions. The two Lekka, are there no more kings that ruled the world? The Aiko Shloime. We have the famous king, Shlomo. The Gemara answers, Lo Solek Malchuse. His kingdom did not complete itself because in the end, he was removed from his kingdom. There is an argument in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. What happened to Shlomo in the long run? One opinion says he was king, and then he was removed from his kingdom for a period, and then he made it back to his kingdom, and he died as king over Israel. Another opinion says, no, he did not. Shlomo was king, he lost his kingdom, and he never made it back. Shlomo says in Ecclesiastes, in Koheles, Ani Koheles, Hayisi Melech al Yisrael Birushalayim. I Koheles, I was, notice the past tense, I was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And from here our sages derive that there was a period when Shlomo was not king. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Shlomo ruled the world. Answers the Gemara, Lo Solik Malchuse. His kingdom didn't end. He didn't finish off his life as king. That's good according to the opinion that says that he was a king and then he was a plain citizen. He lost his kingdom. But according to the opinion that says that he was a king, then he was a plain citizen, and then he made it back to the throne, then why is he not enumerated? What are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, Shloime mil sachrisi avebe. Shlomo, he was bigger than all this. Shemalach alayel yonim alatachtonim. Shlomo ruled not only all the countries on the planet, he ruled in the heavens as well. Shneimar, as the verse says, Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem. Shlomo sat on the throne of God. That's a reference to the fact that he ruled over the demons as well. He ruled above, it means he ruled the demons as well. That's why he's not enumerated here. He was a bigger king than all of these. The Ahavi Sancheiriv. Wait a second. What about Sancheiriv? Dichsiv. because when Sanherib came and lay siege on Jerusalem, he said, his general said, why do you Jerusalem Jews think you're going to get away? What king is there among the gods of all the nations that was able to rescue their land from me? Why do you guys think you'll get away with it? And then God sent an angel that night and killed his army. So the Gemara says he didn't rule the world. Hey, Yerushalayim, there was one city he didn't rule. He mastered the world, and when he came to Jerusalem, at the gates of Jerusalem, he lost. That was a great miracle. He did not conquer Jerusalem. The Gemara asks, Va'ika Daryavesh, but there was the great Darius, Dichsiv, as it says. Daryavesh wrote a letter, and in that letter he records a miracle that happened to him, that he became animal-like. And the letter begins as follows, Daryavesh Malka Kesav L'chol HaMemayo Umayav L'shnaya Didairin B'chol Aro Shlomchon Yisgei. Daryavesh the king wrote a letter to all nations, all tongues, all nationalities that live throughout the land, peace be with you. So we see, he sent a letter to all the nations. Obviously they were all his subjects. You see, he ruled the world. The Gemara says, no, ha'ika shvadalo malach alayu. There was seven that he did not rule over. Dichsiv, as it says, shfar kodam Daryavesh ve'kim ha'machus edachshtap na'yo me've'eshim. It made sense to Daryavesh to appoint in charge of his kingdom 120 officers. Why 120? Because he ruled 120 countries. We know from Achashverosh that the world at that time had 127 countries. So he ruled 120, but there were seven he didn't rule. Vaika Koresh. What about the great King Koresh? Dichsiv. You know, Daryavesh and Koresh are names like Mr. President, like Pharaoh, like Avimelech. These are names that just mean like president, like king. So Koresh and Daryavesh are the same. Many kings, Persian kings, had the name Koresh, Daryavesh, Achashverosh. Those are names that just stand for king in those languages. So, what about Koresh? Dichsiv, the verse says, Komar Koresh melech paras, kom mamlechos haaretz nasan liHashem. Koresh sends out a letter. This is the beginning of the book of Ezra. Koresh says, so says Koresh, the king of Persia. God gave me all the lands, all the kingdoms, and I've decided to build the temple. Whoever wants should go and help. That's the way the book of Ezra begins. The Gemara says he didn't really rule the world. He just wrote that in his letter. I've been given by God all the lands on the earth. Everyone knew he wasn't king over the whole world. He just wrote it that way. So we're continuing with the storyline of the Megillah. So what did we say? We said there were three kings who ruled the world. Who were the three kings? Achav,
Nebuchadnezzar, and
Achashverosh. Right. Nebuchadnezzar. Achachan. Achav, Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar.
Achav was a king
of Yehuda. Yeah.
Ruled the whole world.
Achav ruled the world, yes.
Was
Achav righteous? It's a good question, but not for now. It's a long story, and it's more complicated than saying yes or no. He married a Gentile woman, he did a lot of idol worship, he murdered, but at the end of the day he also did tshuva. So how do you judge a person like that? And he did certain tremendous mitzvos. So I'm not one to judge. We said Shlomo, according to one opinion, also ruled the world, and even more than that. And then we asked a bunch of questions from Sadach, Sancheiriv, Daryavesh, Koresh. Okay, back to the Gemara. It says in the Megillah, Bayomim hohem kesheves hamelech Achashverosh vichsiv. So the Megillah begins by saying in those days when he sat on his throne. And then you just continue the next pasuk, vichsiv vasrein, right afterwards it says, Vishnas shalosh lemolcho, 3 years into his reign. Which one is it? As he sat on his throne or 3 years into his reign? Omar Rava. Rava explained, my kesheves. What does it mean as he sat on his throne? Sheves over here doesn't mean he just sat down on his throne, but rather means la'achar shenit yeshvadato, when he settled down, when he came to terms, when he was at peace with his throne. Why was he at peace? Now we enter a mathematical Gemara. And the Gemara is going to explain how you figure out the 70 years of Babylon. And before we read this Gemara, we need an introduction. And after this introduction, we'll have to call it a night for tonight. And we'll pick up with this Gemara next week. So, let's begin with a little bit of Jewish and world history. Where do we begin? The Jews were in the land of Israel. Yes? And they had prophets. And they had false prophets. And the Navi Yirmiyahu tells the Jewish people, when Babylon has filled 70 years, I will gather you. I will remember you. So that's one pasuk. Daniel tries to figure out, he thinks the 70 years are up, and doesn't work. We're not back. So Daniel goes and prays, and says Kaddish, says, what's going on, God? How come you haven't called us back? So God tells him, when Jerusalem will have been 70, when Jerusalem will have been destroyed 70 years, I'll bring you back. So all of this needs work. Now, being that everyone knew that when the Jews were in Israel, there were a lot of false prophets, all kinds of pagan prophets, they kept saying, everything will be okay, don't worry, we're going to win the wars, you guys don't worry. And Jeremiah came along, Yirmiyahu, and said, no, there will be destruction. Guys, stop fighting. You're going to lose. People are dying for nothing. God has decided to destroy the city. And Yirmiyahu proved to be correct. And everyone knew he was a prophet of God, to the point where Nebuchadnezzar told Yirmiyahu, you could do what you want. You're a man of God. You don't have to go into exile. You could. You could stay here. You could go where you want. He gave him free passage. Plato came and consulted with hear me out. At any rate... that's an excellent question. We do. But that's not for now. Remind me. If you want, you could look it up in the Book of Our Heritage on Tisha B'Av, when he discusses the greatness of the temple. He quotes this Midrash about the conversation between Jeremiah and Plato, and he quotes a source. I don't remember what Midrash is the source for this. So at any rate... everyone knew Jeremiah had said 70 years, when Babylon will fill their 70 years, the Jews will be gathered. And Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar, he did a calculation. He figured, when did the Babylonian Empire begin? When did it end? When have 70 years been up for the Babylonian Empire? And he thought, the 70 years are up. So Belshazzar then said, we could take out the vessels of the temple. God isn't bringing them back. He's obviously decided he doesn't like the Jews, which wasn't a far-fetched thought, because we find that when the first temple was destroyed, even the Jews kept thinking, maybe God has forgotten us. That's why the prophet in Isaiah and Yeshaya often tells the Jewish people, don't worry, God will not forget. God has not let go of you. V'tomer tziona zavani Hashem v'Hashem shechechani. The prophet describes how Zion says, God must have left me. God must have forgotten me. And God answers, no. Does a woman forget her child from having mercy over the fruit of her stomachs? Even if you find the woman who forgets these, and I won't forget you. No. The prophet keeps reminding us, I have not forgotten you. And in Eichon Lamentations as well. But you see, we were such a great empire. We were known as the people of God. And here God comes and destroys the temple and exiles us. There was room to think that God had decided, that's it, I've had it with them. And so when the 70 years are up, Belshazzar says, must be God's had it with them. And so he takes out the vessels of the temple and he makes a great party. That night was a night after he had just won a great battle against the Persian and Mede Empire. And as he's having this feast, a hand appears in thin air and starts writing on the plaster on the wall. And they look at the writing and they can't make heads or tails of what it says. And they all get very scared. A godly hand suddenly appears out of nowhere and it's written something on the wall. The Pasuk describes in the book of Daniel how Belshazzar's feet started trembling and shaking one another against one another. And he's all scared and his wife tells him, hey, your father had an advisor who he valued. Why don't you go and ask Daniel? So they call Daniel in and he reads the writing on the wall. Reads the writing on the wall. Now you know where we get that term from. He reads the writing on the wall and he tells them, God has decided that you are at fault and you will be punished. Your kingdom is going to be up. And that night, Belshazzar was murdered and the Persian Mede Empire over overthrew the Babylonian Empire. They attacked in the middle of the night and they won. So the first one to think the 70 years were up was Belshazzar. And after that, the Navi Daniel. And after that, we come to the real calculation. So the Talmud is now going to work out the math. What was Belshazzar thinking? How did he think the numbers were up? What was Daniel thinking? And then Ahasuerus thought he had it down pat. He thought the 70 years were up. That's why he sat down comfortable on his throne and threw a party 3 years into his reign. He thought he figured out the calculations and the 70 years were up. So we have Belshazzar, Daniel, Ahasuerus. And then, when the 70 years are finally up after Ahasuerus' reign, then his son Koresh really goes and rebuilds the temple. They were all wrong. So that's what our Gemara is going to be explaining. Stay tuned next week. Bezrat Hashem. We'll pick up right here.